Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. Today it's Adar Sheni, very close to Purim, definitely March 19th. And thank you so much for being here to learn about Bitachon. Today we're continuing to talk about relatives and Bitachon, because we know that Hashem sends us relatives and friends and loved ones, and that's no coincidence. It's all to help us. And we're not supposed to let it detract from our service of Hashem, only to enhance and improve it. So we're learning about the Bitachon HaShlishi regarding a person's relative. And the Aruch HaTzadikim continued, and he tells us, V'alkein, Hayu HaPrushim, there were people who needed to separate from certain activities and interactions. Those were called Prushim, HaMiyachadim HaKel Bilvavam, who would devote Hashem in their hearts. They would unify, and they would set aside their thoughts to Hashem. What would they do in order to enhance and to improve their avodas Hashem? Now, we have to use this with caution, but this is what they would do. And you might know how there were barachim. They would flee nibateihim, from their houses. That's the lashon of boreah. Sometimes a person needs to politely, quietly, kind of get up and go to some safe space. Of course, not to chas v'shalom go out when anger or in a huff, something like that. What we're trying to say is that these people who were Prushim, they realized that at times they needed to curtail their interactions with others, even from their families. And it's often mutual. There could be two family members who live in the same house, and we know familiarity breeds contempt. The more that people live under the same roof, the more likely it is that sometimes there'll be friction among them. Ironically, even among those who love themselves, hopefully, and they love each other. Of course, you have to love yourself. That's a prerequisite. But they love each other so much that creates some friction and tension at times, because sometimes there's so much sensitivity to try to keep this relationship maintained in a positive way that itself creates sometimes machlokas and disagreement. So what do these people do? They realize, okay, this is a healthy time for us to have some space. They don't have to say it. They could just do it. They could have prearranged time. And they would flee from their houses, umikrovam, and from their relatives. Sometimes it is safer to go ahead and keep a distance, at least temporarily. El haharim. Oh, that's a little extreme. Doesn't it sound like that? They'd go to the mountain. Okay. There are mountains that people go to. And sometimes it's literal. And sometimes it's just figurative. But sometimes we need to kind of go out. Now, this is a Gemara that I'm going to tell you now. I'll tell you a little story. For a number of years, I had the zechus to give a Shabbos Shuva drashta here in Cincinnati. It was like between Rabbanim and the main shul. And for maybe 6, 7 years. So 1 year I decided we were going to talk about Kibbud Av Va'Em at the Shabbos Shuva drashta. And my boss, Rabbi Kibbel Zichron Livracha, he said, listen, let's do a practice run of your Shabbos Shuva drashta on the Thursday night before Shabbos Shuva, and this will accomplish at least two things. Number one, Rabbi Kibbel Zichron Livracha said to me, I have a Thursday night shiur that I always give to men, and if you've been in Cincinnati a long time, you might remember that. It was before the kollel was here. That was a form of the fledgling type of kollel. So he would give this shiur, and he said, he told me, you'll give my shiur for me. I'll have a Thursday night, I'll have a little break. I'll come also, though. He was such a humble person. I'll come. And I want to hear, we'll screen the Shabbos Shuva Drasha. Let's see how it's going to go. I want to tell you Hashgacha Pratis. This was many years, this Shabbos Shuva Drasha. That was the only year that Rabbi Kibbel, Zichron Livracha, said, let's test it out Thursday night before. And that was the year that it created the most ripple, created the most controversy, and we had to actually edit it before Shabbos. And this is how it went. So I decided to talk about Kibbud Av Va'Em. You see, this is related to this piece of Aruch HaTzadikim. So I quoted the Gemara. You know, there's Gemaras in Kedushin about it, around Chav Tes, Lamed, about Kibbud Av Va'Em, famous studios there. And I quoted the Gemara that one of the Chachamim said, now ready? Some of you might get upset now, so get ready. But I'm not doing it on purpose. The Gemara says, Ashrei mi shelo chaman. Fortunate is the person who didn't see his pair. Now, that's pretty tragic, chas v'shalom. It was actually said by an Amora, who was a Yosam, I believe, because if a person is around his or her parents, well, the mitzvah of kibud av v'em is so demanding, and there are so many details, both in the active part, which is the kibud, to bring food to them, to bring drinks, to stand up, to help them in and out. And then there's the mora. That's really a tough one for some people. That's not to contradict them, etc. So once the Amoraim in the Gemara said, a person who didn't have contact with his parents has a certain advantage because he never stumbled in kibud av v'em, because it's so difficult, it's so challenging to do it well. Oh boy, when that came out of my mouth, I think I almost had to evacuate. Baruch Hashem, nobody had anything in their hands to throw at me, because it created an uproar on the Thursday night session. And they said, what do you mean, Asher Misha lo chama? Better not to see your parents? What's going on over here? What do you mean? Yeah, you have to be around your parents as much as you can. You're supposed to serve them. You're supposed to help them. The parents have nachas from you. You have nachas from your parents. Didn't go over very well. And I tried to explain, gentlemen, this is the Gemara. It's not me. I'm telling you, the purpose of that Gemara is just to bring forth the point that we have to be extremely careful and cautious when it comes to honoring parents. That's really all that it's trying to tell us. Of course, most of us have time with our parents, hopefully, and it goes as well as it can go, hopefully very well. It was very difficult to calm people down and to smooth that one over. All I needed to do, it was just a Gemara, so I'm trying to defend the Amoraim. What I'm trying to say, though, Sir Rabbi Kibble Zichroni Livracha, he said, you know what? I think we'll leave that part out on Shabbos, of the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha. So we had the edited version. Because just because the Gemara says it doesn't mean that it's fit for public consumption all over the place. Many times, because I'll say, halacha ve'ein morin kein. Even with halacha sometimes, it might be the halacha. We might not paskin it publicly for various reasons. The point of that Gemara, though, is the point of the Aruchos Tzadikim right here. Because he said, sometimes a distance is healthy. And there are those relatives who love each other better at a safe distance. And then things work out better that way. When children grow up, there's a time that it's time for them. They really need to leave. Everybody will be happier if they're not living under the same roof. Living in the same city is a huge bracha. Baruch Hashem, in general, it is. But sometimes people need to flee, he says, to be boreach. It could be siblings. Small amount of time, husband and wife have to have a little space from each other, depending on the relationship. Each one has to have his or her friends, different times for conversations. It totally depends on the person and the relationship. But what does this have to do with bitachon? A person should not be anxious about perfection in relationships. A person has to realize that sometimes I need to be alone, and so do you. And it's healthy not to weigh heavily that the relationship, the emotions shouldn't be too heavy. They shouldn't be too heavy on each other. Kedei she'yafanu levavam el ho'elokim. Because a relative sometimes needs, a person needs to think on his own or her own and to turn one's heart and thoughts directly to Hashem with no interference, nothing peripheral that can distract me. Sometimes it's just Hashem and myself, and that's it. It has to be that way. By the way, we're able to do that even in a crowd. Sometimes that's the only way to survive in a crowd also. It's just, Zeh Dodi v'zeh Rei. Remember last time he said, Hashem is my beloved. Hashem is my friend. He's my best friend. He's my only real, real friend forever and ever and ever. So either in a crowd or at home or wherever we are, especially if I'm alone, I'm able to do that. That's what the Aruch HaTzaddikim is saying. So there has to be a little bit of time for that also. It's what we call hispodidus. It's called solitude. Literally going into a different four walls. A different scene, a different area. As we know, it says in Maseches Avos, Havigola l'mekom Torah. There has to be an element of exile. A person exiles himself in order to be able to learn. Sometimes, some of the time. Now we're going to talk about a new kind of person. Because until now, the Aruch HaTzaddikim talked to us about having bitachon, having proper relationships. About the person who was alone. That's what the first part of this paragraph was about. The person who is alone, who doesn't have relatives. So he ended off by saying that person can find comfort in the fact that there were people who had relatives who needed space from the relatives, as most people do at times. So that was the nechama. That was the bitachon burst For the person who is alone or feels alone, remember we said last time, maybe not literally alone, but sometimes a person feels isolated, not understood. At that moment, the person is kind of alone, takes Hashem as his or her best friend, has to sometimes go to a little bit of different area, and then meditate and devote one's thoughts to Hashem. But what about the person who is blessed with relatives? What about that situation? If that person is a Baal Isha, has a wife, has a spouse, Uvanim, has children, Ukrovim, relatives, Oavim, close friends. So isn't that an absolute recipe for total success? Oh, we know that not necessarily, because it comes many complications with it. As it says here, Yitach ve'elokim. Right away, the first thing a person has to do if the person has relatives is to immediately put one's trust in Hashem. Sheyiten lo koach, that Hashem will give the person strength. Why do I need strength to deal with relationships? Because they're emotionally draining. That's why. They could be. They're so gratifying. They're so beautiful. They're indescribable. They're otherworldly. But they're often very draining also. So where do I get my reservoir of energy from to be able to be a good parent, a good child, a good spouse? Bitachon in Hashem, that I need that strength. Hashem, please give me strength. Hashem, oz le'amo yitain. I need strength right from Hashem to be a good relative to my relatives. Koach l'shalem lahem, ma shechayev lahem, so that the person will have power, energy to pay them, to bestow on them what he's obligated to them. Obligated? Am I obligated anything to my relatives? Of course. Parents are obligated to their children. Children have some kind of obligation, at least, to honor their parents. Siblings have to have derech eretz toward each other, sometimes kavod. There's all types of what he says, masha chayev lehem. We have obligations. They're wonderful obligations, but they still take a lot of concentration, a lot of deliberation, a lot of calculation that it should be right. V'la'atos chefzehem, and to do their desires. Sounds like a people pleaser. To do their desires. Am I supposed to try to do what people want? Of course I am. They say be a people pleaser to a degree, not at the expense of pleasing Hashem. But it's necessary to try within the parameters of halacha, within the parameters of hashkafa, within the parameters of a healthy relationship to do what people want. It's okay to want to do that. It shouldn't be an obsession, but it's totally fine. He says it, not just to do what I'm obligated for them, but to do beyond that. Remember the Mesillas Yesharim, that other wonderful sefer, the guide for the Musar Sfarim, says that people who love each other, they go beyond the letter of the law. They go beyond what's required. That's how we are with Hashem, above in any other relationship. But that's how it's naturally supposed to be with people also who are relatives. V'yivtach, the second time he says v'yivtach now, in this part of the paragraph. When a person has relatives, the person needs a lot of bitachon. It's proportionate. The more relatives, the more relationships, the more correspondence and interaction, the more bitachon I'm going to need. The yiftach sheyehe libo shalei mimahem. Another element of bitachon, that the person's heart will be whole, will be sincere with them. Why does a person need bitachon? This is so profound. It's the tip of an iceberg that the Orcha Tzaddikim is presenting here. Why does a person need bitachon that his heart will be whole with his relatives? What is that supposed to mean? Very easy to understand. Sometimes a person is bestowing kindness on others for self-gratification, so I'll feel good. It's supposed to be that that part of it might be okay, but it's supposed to be that shalim imahem. I have the right motives. This is a relative. Hashem has sent me these people. These are neshamos that I have. One was enriched when I was a Rebbe there. I came in one day. I don't know how I looked. My children are all very little. And Rabbi Kibbutz, he said, oh, my goodness, you look like you've gone through I don't know what. But he said to me, you have to remember, look at it this way, that Ribbono Shel Olam has entrusted some neshamos with you to take care of. And that's what you're supposed to view it as. If that's therapeutic, then think of it that way. Because you are a shomer. This lashon that he used to entrust, that's like a pikadon, like it talks about. There are neshamos. Hashem is mafkid. I don't own my children. I don't own any relative. They are a pikadon. Hashem has entrusted and trusted me, obviously, with these neshamos, with these relationships. And I'm supposed to have bitachon that I'll be able to do not only what I'm required, but maybe beyond that even, what they desire, as he says, chepseihem, but with a healthy attitude, not an obsessive attitude, that I'm dependent on that person approving of everything I do. Biyore osam durachim. If I'm in a position to instruct and to guide my relatives, I'm supposed to teach them ways being yanei haTorah, ways of Torah, the matters of Torah, va'avodas habore, in service of Hashem. Obviously, this applies to children, but it could be other relatives as well, other friends. Okay, so for many years, I understood this one way, and then I began to totally understand it a different way. It seems to be saying, it shouldn't be that the person is hoping, waiting for some kind of gain, profit, because of this from them. I always said to myself, well, that's a piece of cake. Obviously, what am I, I'm waiting for dividends? I'm going to get interest? I'm going to get profit, money profit from my relatives? What is this about? Of course I don't have that kind of attitude. But no. That's not what he means. It's, again, the dependency on the relative acting toward me a certain way. It's not supposed to be that way. I'm not supposed to be invested in the dividends, in the results. It's the effort. It's the job of taking care of these relatives the best I can, but not expecting perfection, not expecting gratitude. Because if I expect gratitude, then I'm not going to really ever be satisfied or gratified. The next line is one of my favorites. Lo sheyechabduhu. Nor should a person wait, hope, and expect that one's relatives will honor him. But I like to take it to the next level. Not that the person should wait and hope and expect that they will respect him. Meaning, I should not be disappointed if I am not respected to the degree that I think is the proper degree that I should be respected. Because that might not happen. Lo sheyichabduhu, not that they'll honor him or respect him. Because he shows them the right way. But what is this Yetzirah? The Yetzirah says, I've invested so much into this relative. I put so much money, so much time, so much energy, so much emotion. I turned myself inside out, upside down for this relative. And what happened at the end? They were disrespectful to me. Orcha Siddiqim says, okay. I did the best I could. That relative is probably doing the best he can or she can also. Maybe the person has issues. Maybe the person is an unbaked cake still, is still developing. I'm not supposed to live as a disappointed person. There are so many people who go through life. They're disappointed. They're disenchanted. Why? Because they didn't get the respect that they expected from the child or from whoever else it is, a sibling. There are chas v'shalom lo aleinu, siblings who are estranged from each other. They don't talk to each other. Chas v'shalom. I just had it yesterday. I was reviewing Maseches Sanhedrin. It says, lo nechshedu Yisrael al zeh. B'nei Yisrael. Actually, we're talking about eligibility for being a witness, but it talks about an enemy, a stone. It says a person who doesn't talk to his friend, so to say, for 3 days out of enmity, out of hatred. People don't talk to each other. Chas v'shalom, I should have an enemy who's my relative. Why does that happen to people? That's because people are disappointed. They expect it. If we would lower our expectations, don't expect kavod. Maybe don't even expect regular level respect. Level one, basic respect. If I don't expect it, and I just have a good sense of humor, and I move forward in enanili mili, if I am obsessed with this disappointment and how people act toward me, including my relatives, I'm going to be stuck in the mud. So I have to kind of like keep catapulting forward, Me'avodas Hashem, and not get bogged down by this, by the sorrows or by all the different difficulties with children, with parents, with siblings, with all these different relatives. Below these Torah Aleihem, nor obviously to lord over them. There are power struggles within families also. And that's also not supposed to be, oh yeah, well, I'm in charge of the house. My rules are going to go 100%. Again, just like it says in Avos, lo hakapton melamed, a person who's particular and a person who's makpid won't be able to teach Torah. For sure, a person who's a kapton won't be able to be a parent or a really decent relative. So makpid that the person should look at me a certain way. I'm talking to myself. I have to realize to not be oversensitive. Even if the person doesn't smile at me, I can still smile and be pleasant to that other person, to that relative, to that friend. So, what is my motivation? What is my aspiration? What am I thinking about when I try to be a good relative to my relatives? Ela yaseh kedei lekayem mitzvas habore baruch hu. Levat. Imagine that. The Aruch HaSadikim just isolated our motive. And he said, the reason I'm being a good parent, the reason I'm being a good spouse, the reason I'm being a good child, a good sibling, is to do the Ratzon Hashem. If I have that in mind, then I will be a wonderful, pleasant relative. And I won't be disappointed at the shortcomings, the perceived disappointments of those relatives whom I expect to be perfect, which I'm not supposed to do. Yachshov. What else should the person think regarding one's relatives and friends? Shehu shlucho shamakom, that I and any relative is an agent of Hashem, lalamed lekrova v'la'ova, to teach Torah to one's relatives and to one's loved ones. Below yachik tova la'atmo, the person should not hold gratitude toward himself. Now let's stop for taking ID for a second. What does it have to do with bitachon? One more time now. What does this have to do with bitachon? Because if a person is machzik tova la'atmo, tries to take credit, feels I should be getting a certain amount of credit, I should be getting all types of praise and recognition for all what I'm doing for my relatives. If a person thinks that, that person is very far from bitachon, because that person is trusting in the relative, trusting in that relationship, not trusting in the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why it says lo yachzik tova la'atmo. Don't try to feel, oh, I'm the best in the world. By the way, on one hand, we do have to feel very proud of what we're doing. And we have to think, I'm a great person. I'm a wonderful person. But not like I need to be recognized. I need to be acknowledged. I need to be thanked. And I need to be paid in kind. It has to be reciprocity. If I am so benevolent and generous to this relative and to my relatives, they have to absolutely do the same thing to me. That is what we're not supposed to do. Below yigbal yibo. And persons should not be arrogant and think, oh, I'm greater than these people because I know more than these relatives and I'm teaching them and my friends. Oh, I'm a guide to them. Look how great I am. I'm better than them. No, that's the danger of gaiva, which also is going to decay a person's spiritual stability. Here's the tough one now. What if a person needs something from his relatives? We feel that we have needs. By the way, this expression also could be a little bit dangerous at times. My needs are not being met. Sometimes that is very legitimate. It's real. But at other times, I should say to myself, are my needs not being met? Maybe I could a little bit like tweak or redefine what my needs are. Maybe my need could come directly from Hashem, and this relative is not the messenger, is not the conduit for that bracha. It's directly from Hashem, maybe through a different agent. So what if a person needs something from his relatives? Bimalu chesrono. That's a good, nice, happy ending. And those relatives will fulfill that person's need. Baruch Hashem, yes, we have wonderful, successful, gratifying experiences. And we have magnificent relationships with certain relatives and friends. Very good. But what am I supposed to think when I have that positive experience? The person should think that those relatives and friends are actually agents of Hashem to fulfill and to fill this person's need. So that means if a relative comes through for me, if somebody helps me emotionally, if someone's there for me, of course I have to have gratitude and love and admiration, but I have to realize how did it all happen? It's through Hashem's Ratzon. That is why that relative and that friend was there for me. Hashem wanted it to be that way. Now you might think, well, why am I doing this? I'll tell you why. Because sometimes they won't come through. If I know the whole time that they're from Hashem, then I won't be disappointed and bitter at them when they don't come through. So even when they do come through for me, I have to realize, yes, they deserve all the credit and love and acknowledgement in the world, but it's actually through Hashem that they're able to help me. Below yiftach bahem klal. Below yiftach bahem klal. A person should not trust in one's relatives at all, that they are the source for the person's benevolence and needs. The source for the person's needs is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem fulfills our needs through worthy, righteous, loving relatives whom we have to love and be righteous to and acknowledge them. But still, the source, the power plant is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the generator. That's Hashem. What about the second part? Does often happen. It's a reality of life. V'myavakesh mehem davar. But what if someone seeks something from his relatives? V'yashiv upon of reikam. And they turn the person back empty. It happens many times. A person says, oh, I was looking for emotional support from this relative, from this parent, from this child, from this sibling. I was looking for financial support. I was looking for more time. I wanted them to give more time to me. And I'm so disappointed. They did not do so. Al yasim aleihem chatos. The person should not place the blame on that relative. Boy, this is really going to enhance Abbas Yisrael. As we've said many times, the less we expect from a relative, then the more we'll be able to love them. And it's with people in general. Ach yachshov, what should the person who's disappointed think? Ki harbe shluchim lamakom. There are many messengers, many agents that Hashem has, lamalos chesrono, to fulfill the person's need. All of our needs, they're all in front of Hashem. He knows everything. He knows we need all this stuff. But it might not be that this person is the one through whom Hashem will fulfill that need or fill that lack that I have. It could be through someone else. As a result, and we're going to now summarize what we talked about today. So we talked about two types of people. The first kind of person was the one who doesn't have relatives and friends, or the person who has very few, or the person who has but feels alone. That person has to take Hashem as the closest relative and friend. Zedodi v'zerei. And realize that even people who have relatives and friends sometimes don't have them. They're not always available. And the second kind of person was the one who's blessed with many relatives and friends. That person has to realize that Hashem has sent these people, and to maintain positive relationships, we all have to work on all our mitos all the time. Each day, to work on our mitos, especially hatred, we have to rid ourselves of animosity, look at the positive, rid ourselves of jealousy and of intolerance, and be tolerant, upbeat, happy people, because the ball is in our court. We choose to form our attitude. Hashem should assist us that with this burst of bitachon regarding relationships, when we enter Purim and we keep saying over and over, La Yehudim, all about the Yehudim who admit that Hashem is our God, and we have what we call Abba v'Achva v'Reus, all the joy of Purim and the brotherhood, camaraderie, that should all energize us with simcha and bitachon. And Emir Hashem will continue next week talking about the fourth type of bitachon. Have a freilich in Purim and a beautiful Adar.